Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 14, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ, and through us reveals the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. The word "in" is the key word there. Watch out for the little words, they can have big meanings. It's the word "en," E-N, and it denotes instrumentality. Yes, it's a fixed position in place or time, but the idea is, how does it happen? God always causes us to triumph. God always causes us to triumph by means of Christ. Now, this is a promise, but it's not a promise for what is coming. It's a promise for what already is. We will always triumph as believers. You stay true to God, you will always triumph. Dr. Stevens used to tell the Bible college students, the only way to lose with God is quit. Because if you don't quit, you will triumph. So Satan tries to get people to quit. Don't quit. If you don't quit, you will triumph. Because God always... Now, the word "always" in the original language, it's a kind of a neat way of putting it. It means always, but the way it says it is every when. In every when, God will cause you to triumph. That incorporates every circumstance, every relationship, every detail. God's plan for you is to triumph in literally everything. There's nothing in life that God does not want you to triumph in, and He will cause it to happen. He's the one who does it. You receive it. He'll cause it to happen through your relationship to Christ. That is a promise that already exists. It doesn't have to happen in the future. It's not something you wait for. You wait for it in terms of time and circumstances, but it's not something that God has to produce that hasn't been done yet. It's something that already exists. It's already waiting for you. It's already in place. God causes you to enter into your triumph. So the question is, what is your problem? What is the circumstance that challenges you? God causes you to triumph. I had a friend, Pastor Ben. He used to have this saying, Jesus is your answer, what is your question? He'll always cause you to triumph. But it's only Christ who can make that promise to you. It's only by a relationship with God that that will become a practical reality for you. Now, if you are saved and you're backslidden, then that will eventually become a reality for you once you get to heaven. However, God wants to bless you so much more than that. God wants you to start triumphing now. God wants you to start being blessed now. God wants you to have joy now. God wants you to have peace now. He wants that triumph to be experienced in this very moment and every moment of your life. Whether or not that is the case will depend entirely on what is the condition of your relationship to Christ. If it is good, you will triumph. In Ephesians 2:4, God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The triumph does not merely give me victory in circumstances. Sometimes we read passages like this and that's how we relate to them. I have a difficult circumstance and God will cause me to triumph in that circumstance. Yes, but it's so much more than that. The triumph is really an all-encompassing overcoming and reigning over everything in our lives because we're already seated above in heavenly places in Christ. The fact that I'm still here on earth with an old sin nature does not mean that I'm not seated above in heavenly places. I certainly am. My feet are on earth. The rest of me is in heaven. When a person dies, all they're doing is they're pulling their feet up. That's it. That victory that we have because we're already in heavenly places is huge. That means we triumph literally in every situation over everything. Whether that situation is a relationship, good or bad, we're triumphant in it. Whether it's a circumstance, good or bad, we're triumphant in it. Whether it's health, good or bad, we're triumphant in it. There's nothing that can take place, there's no relationship that can exist that we are not triumphant. If we maintain our relationship to God within it, it will become the practical experience of our lives. If we do not maintain that relationship, it's something we will eventually enter into when we pull our feet up. And then all of us is experiencing heaven. But God wants it now. God wants you to be victorious, triumphant in everything. God will bring challenges, of course, but He wants you to be triumphant in everything. He doesn't bring a challenge so that you will fail in it or so that you will not succeed in it. It doesn't mean that you won't fail sometimes. Everybody fails at times. Job, who is the perfect example of a man going through difficult circumstances and God coming through for him, he failed. So don't be surprised if sometimes the circumstance is so overwhelming, so powerful to you, that you reach the maximum of your capacity and your flesh kicks in. The old sin nature is still present. But the triumph is not hindered by the flesh. The triumph is often over the flesh's part in the old sin nature's part in the circumstance. So don't worry about the fact that you have an old sin nature. God is still going to cause you to triumph. That old sin nature cannot change that God has a relationship to you. It may hinder your relationship to God. It cannot hinder God's relationship to you. God's relationship to you is based on the finished work of Christ. That necessarily means that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world in Revelation 13:8, and everything in the universe was built on the foundation of the slain Lamb. The finished work is the foundation for everything. There is no failure that God cannot make you triumphant in. There is no problem that God cannot give you a victory in. There's nothing that can happen that can separate you from the love of God in Romans 8. Therefore, there's nothing that can happen to cause you to be less than triumphant. When you experience it will depend on how you maintain your relationship to Him, but you will, if you are saved, you will experience it. In Genesis 3:15, God said to Satan, I will put enmity, that is animosity, between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Our ultimate triumph is not our triumph. Our ultimate triumph is the victory that Christ has over the enemy through the cross. When we take up that cross is when we get to experience the triumph that is had. It only comes through the cross. The cross is not your negative circumstance. The cross is your deliverance in the negative circumstance. Galatians 2:20 says, I've already been crucified with Christ. It's in the past tense. I am crucified with Christ. Really, it should read, I have been and it continues to be so. Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, not in the Son of God, as some translators put it, but of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Why of the Son of God? Because it's his faith. It comes through his word. It's not my faith coming through my word. It's the faith he imparts to me through his word. It's his faith. So even in having faith, it's something that I receive from him. Even that is his. Even that is triumphant. There's nothing that I have that he doesn't give me. I can try in emptiness to achieve it myself. There's nothing that I have that he doesn't give me. This is why we always draw near to him. Because there's nothing that we have that he doesn't give us. He's willing to give us all things freely. Because he already did the hard part. Christ already died. So now he's going to freely give us all things. So how do I receive all things? I draw near to him. I keep myself in the love of God and I keep the word of God in my frame of reference in John 15:5 and also in verse 7. This is my great provision. This is the practical expression of the cross. The cross itself was where I become one person with him. The cross is where all my sins are cleansed because I'm one person with him in 1 Peter 2:24. And so this cross is a huge thing. You want to experience your triumph, you do it through the cross. Unfortunately, in Christianity, too often, there's this negative connotation toward the cross. Honestly, if it's a negative connotation in your mind, you don't understand what the cross is. People say, well, I got to pick up my cross. Jesus bore a cross, I have to pick up my cross. Jesus didn't say take his cross, he said take your cross. That's a completely different ballgame. He took his cross, that was once and for all. I take my cross, that's something different. Me taking up my cross is I believe what he has accomplished for me on his cross, and I enter into the life of that, and that becomes my cross. That's what Galatians 2:20 is talking about. That puts me not only into union with him, but in Romans 5:8, in union with the love of God. We become inseparable from his love. This is why we become triumphant. We're inseparable from his love. We're inseparable from him. Tell me, what has defeated Jesus? If it cannot defeat Jesus, it cannot defeat you. Can your circumstances defeat Christ? Can unbelief defeat Christ? Can difficult health defeat Christ? What can defeat Christ? Can bad politics defeat Christ? Can the crazy, insane world defeat Christ? What can defeat Christ? At one point in time, they thought the crazy, insane world could defeat Christ. God told them better when he created flood. He did away with the crazy, insane world, but Christ and the believers remained. What can defeat Christ? Nothing can. You see, this is where your confidence lies, because you have a faith where you know through a relationship with him that nothing can defeat the one that you're one with. If I'm a body of Christ, there's nothing that can defeat me. I may allow it to. Remember, Satan cannot take anything from you. You can only give him something because you've been deceived. But he can actually take nothing from you. So what he'll do is he'll project lies and deception, and he'll tell you all kinds of foolishness like he did with Eve in the garden, so that you will give something up, not because he has the ability to take it. If he simply had the ability to take it, he wouldn't have to deceive. He could just go and take it. But he doesn't have that ability because he is a defeated foe. And since he is defeated, the victory is already ours because the victory was won by Christ and he gave it to us as a result of our oneness with him. So the victory that exists is a victory over the enemy. The enemy introduced your old sin nature. The victory that exists because it's a victory over the enemy is also a victory over the old sin nature. The enemy is the god of this world system. So the victory that we have in Christ is also a victory over the world system because it's a victory over the enemy. There's absolutely nothing that can defeat you. There's nothing that you can't triumph in. God will always cause you to triumph. How does that look? You're in a challenging circumstance and you don't know what to do. So you acknowledge Him in Proverbs 3:6, and He leads you in a path whereby you are triumphant. You're facing a health challenge and it's becoming scary. What do? You turn to the promises of God and they will give you the reality regarding your health challenge. You may say to yourself, well, that person died. If they were saved, good for them. If they were saved, they went to heaven as a result. What did Paul say? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So that person experienced gain. All it meant was that person pulled their feet up when God said to pull your feet up. And then they are in heaven. They were already seated there in heavenly places if they were a believer. You're already seated there also if you're a believer. When you go home to be with the Lord, you're just pulling your feet up. What happens at the rapture? God pulls your feet up. He just pulls everybody's feet up at the same time, those who are saved. But that's it. It's not something you don't already possess. It's something that you do possess that you're progressively learning how to live in and how to enjoy. God has already done this. It's already established. When God created the heavens and the earth, He also created all of time and populated all of time. It's already in place and it was all established on the finished work of Christ. It's already there. It's already yours. If I believe that I'm seated in heavenly places, albeit this is by faith, not by sight, because by sight I'm still on earth. Yes, my feet are still here. But if I believe that in my position I'm already in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus, then I have all things. The kingdom is mine. Because God said, don't fear, it's His pleasure to give you the kingdom. You're going to triumph. That's the pleasure of God. Think about why God created you. God created you so that He could express love to one who was suitable to receive it. That's why that whole thing happened in the garden to begin with. So that we become suitable recipients for the love of God. Why did He want to express it? What happened as a result of that? He brought us into a union with Him that is illustrated to us in a practical illustration through marriage on earth. That's the kind of oneness He wanted with us for eternity. That's it. That's the triumph. You were created for triumph. You were not created for defeat. You were created for triumph. And because of Christ, it's not possible to defeat you. I had a friend years ago. He was actually one of the first people who invested in me when I got saved. And he had some extremely difficult things happen to him. He lost a child. Some really hard times. Financially, things got really hard for him. And unfortunately, he took his eyes off the prize. And before he was saved, he had a cocaine problem and he went back to cocaine. One thing led to another and God took him home. What happened there? He stopped experiencing his triumph, so God took him out of that so that he could continue to experience his triumph. God doesn't take people home to punish them if they're in sin. God takes them home to deliver them if they're in sin. If there's no other way to deliver them, God will take them home early. So they don't have to continue living in defeat. So they can triumph. Today he's very triumphant. Today he doesn't have a problem in the world. Today he's reunited to his daughter. He's doing great. He's triumphant. He made some pretty bad mistakes, but he's triumphant. Because God always causes you to triumph. We don't know how our lives are going to go, only God knows that. But we're meant to be triumphant in it. In Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Now, on the one hand, in Matthew 6:33, we seek first the kingdom of God and everything is added unto us. That is absolutely true. On the other hand, it's equally true in Romans 5:3-5 that God brings tribulations into our lives. But only because the intended outcome, the effective outcome, is that we get to know the love of God on a practical level, and therein we have tremendous confidence. In both cases, there's triumph at the base of it. The foundation in giving us the kingdom of God, if we seek first that kingdom, is to be triumphant. We were created for that triumph. On the other hand, in order for us to experience the practicality of it now, we need certain things whereby we experience being triumphant. The tribulation is simply a means to experience triumph. That's all it is. The difficult relationship in your life is simply a means for you to experience triumph. The negative circumstances, the negative health, whatever it is that you think is negative, it's only a means for you to experience the triumph. Somebody is very unkind to you. Maybe they hurt you in some way. That's only a means for you to experience triumph. You're experiencing by overcoming that difficulty. Therein is your triumph. God is going to build us as he causes us to triumph. That's why that tribulation comes. The ultimate triumph is when we're conformed into the image of his son in Romans 8:29. But everything that exists in verse 28 is there for that purpose. God is going to make you triumph, and in the triumph you will become like Christ. In the triumph you're going to be a manifestation of Christ to a lost and dying world, but also to yourself. In that triumph, you are going to learn that God is faithful, that he actually does love you. In that triumph, you're going to learn exactly who you are as the beloved of God. That's part of triumphing. When God causes you to triumph, he causes you to triumph entirely, not just circumstantially, but entirely. God will provide all our needs. But part of the reason how he does that is by causing us to mature into what he had purposed for us. Therein is the triumph. When Richard Warmbrand, who had suffered incredibly, being tortured almost daily in communist prisons, said that in the first 8 years, before they changed the prison system, when he was in there with murderers and criminals and also some political prisoners, for the first 8 years he had the greatest ministry of his life, even though he was being beaten and tortured. Well, imagine saying that after experiencing what he experienced. He appeared before Congress one time, and some congressman said to him that he didn't think that communists were really doing all these bad things to people. He was duped. Just like they are now, he was duped. And so he didn't believe Warmbrand. And Warmbrand stood up, took off his shirt, and showed him the hole that the communists put through his body. And he said to him, "Young man, you are mistaken. But how could Warren Brown say that? Because God caused him to triumph. There were times when it was suffering that was beyond measure, but God caused him to triumph. God always causes you to triumph. Always. There's never a time when you don't triumph. You may face some difficult challenges, but God will cause you to triumph. And it doesn't mean that the challenges aren't difficult. No, that's the whole point, is that the challenges be difficult. It's hard for us to accept sometimes, but the difficulty is what makes it effective. And so God brings these difficult things so that we can actually experience our triumph here in time. My God supplies all my needs. That's real. Did he supply them for Warren Brown? Yeah, he did. He did supply them for Warren Brown. And Warren Brown would tell you that. God did supply his needs. In 2 Corinthians 12:10, I take pleasures in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Why does he do this? Why does he make me weak? And of course, so that he'll be strong. But what does that mean? Why must I decrease so that he can increase? It's a kingdom thing. The bigger I am, the smaller he is. The smaller I am, the bigger he is. The stronger I am, the weaker he is. The weaker that I am, the stronger he is. Why? It has to do with the enemy. The enemy wants me trying on my own. But I can't win. Remember, the triumph is over the enemy ultimately. And so the enemy wants me trying on my own. The enemy will say to you, oh, you got this. And that will give some people a hard time because they like to think, oh, you got this. Or they like to encourage people by saying, oh, you got this. But that's not actually true. You don't have it. Christ has it. Really, the thing to say is, Christ has you. Christ has you. You can't lose because Christ has you. You can't be defeated because Christ has you. You cannot flop on this because Christ has you. You're not going to be cast down utterly because Christ has you. Even if you fail, Christ has you. It's not that you got it. It's he has you. And it's already finished. So don't tell yourself, oh, I got this. No, that's making yourself big. Then it's up to you. But Christ has you. It's already done. There's nothing left to do. You thank him. You believe him. You continue in his call. You continue in his will. That's what's left to do. So something challenges you. Oh, thank you, God. I appreciate that because it just means you're going to come through for me once again. It just means you're going to bless me and reward me once again. Somebody does something nasty to you. Somebody says something nasty to you, a difficult circumstance. God, thank you. You're going to bless me once again. Bad health. That's a challenging one for people. And I'm not surprised. I don't blame anybody for having a time with it. But even that's a triumph. Like my friend Tony. How are you doing, Tony, as he was dying of bone cancer? Started in his colon, went to his liver, went to his brain, went to his bones, went everywhere. That poor guy was in so much pain. How you doing, Tony? And he says, I'm getting to know God in this situation. That was the whole point. There was this triumph. That was the whole point. Tony is in heaven. Heaven is real. It's a real place. It's not an idea. It's not an apparition. It's not a wishful thought. It's a real geographical place. Tony's there. And as so many people who are brought back from near-death experiences and the doctors resuscitate them, so many of them will say, in some ways it's like Earth, but so much better. So it's not like it's even going to be foreign to us. It's just going to be better than anything we could imagine. Ultimately, that's our triumph. That's why we can't lose. Because even if I'm in the worst shape that I can be as a believer, I'm still a Christian and I'm still saved. I cannot lose that. And I will still be in heaven for eternity. Does that mean I want to give up my opportunities now? No, of course not. That would be stupid. It does mean that the worst I can do is win. In John 3:31, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. As self decreases, the fruit of the Spirit increases. Our orientation to Christ in Colossians 3:2 increases. And in John 5:17, our answers to prayer increase. So long as I'm oriented to the earth, I'm not going to experience in my practical details the triumph, even though I already possess it, I just won't experience it. It's like the person who has $20 million in the bank but doesn't know it, and he lives like a pauper. The triumph's already yours. You can experience it. But the way you experience it is through your relationship to Christ. That's it right there. And if you cultivate that relationship, the triumph will become evident. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.